Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
And Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
Do you guys know each other?
Hi.
Do you know you have the same last name? I didn't even realize we did that.
It's just a vicious rumor.
We are very happy to have you both with us and all of you out there with us. Keep on listening now up until 10 o'clock. You can have a win. You can win a shirt.
Yes.
Yeah, woo.
We got these new logos we want to get out there on you. We'll give you a chance to win a shirt in a little bit. We're going to talk about naming that chicken, our great contest that we have over at our sister station, WIRI. We'll get into all of that. But if you know Mondays around here, you know how we like to kick off things. We like to have our segment, The Kitchen's Open, this wonderful segment that our partner in radio around here, Melissa Kay, works so hard on. Shout out to Melissa. Hope she is sleeping right now.
The news still has to go out there. But. Yeah, I know she was taking a little break, so let's hope so.
Very well earned. Exactly. Works so hard around here. We appreciate her. And you can, you're going to get an example of that hard work right now, as Melissa's got a great interview here, Seth.
Yeah, she's got Tiana Hamm. If you listened last week, of course, she did the first part of the interview, Kids in the Kitchen, and some of the nutrition programs they offer at the YMCA, which is right now the sponsor of The Kitchen is Open. So let's see what they got to say.
Let's go ahead and get right to it. Here is The Kitchen's Open. Our great interview Melissa has with Tiana Hamm on WFHR.
Hello, and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR. We want to open our show today by thanking our sponsor, the Southwood County YMCA. We can do that directly by thanking our special guest today, YMCA's registered dietitian, Tiana Hamm. Welcome, Tiana.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So I'm really excited to have you with us today and to give us an overview of how the very first Kids in the Kitchen went.
Yeah, we had our first Kids in the Kitchen last Saturday, and it was a lot of fun. We actually ended up having 11 kids join us, and I think there were like four moms, maybe a couple of grandmas. So it was really, really cool. We had a great turnout. The way we did it was I had the different kids volunteer and come up, and they would chop vegetables. They, at one point, there were a couple of the younger kids painting on spices mixed with oil onto the sweet potatoes. So we made sweet potato nachos, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So we had those cut into discs, big circles, and then they took brushes, the basting brushes, and, painted the nachos with the spices and oil.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, so that was really cool. I think they really enjoyed that and got to participate in that way. And then we had a plastic knife that's designed for kids to use, a chef's knife. Yeah, that some of the kids got to use to chop up like cilantro and tomatoes. And it got great reviews. The kids loved it. Most of the kids, I think there were a few that didn't so much like the sweet potatoes, but most of the kids did enjoy it. So it was a hit.
Did you have a good age range that came?
Yeah, we did. We had, I think the youngest, well, my son was there, so he was three.
And okay.
I think there maybe were two or three other three-year-olds there. And then all the way up to the age of, I think we had a 13-year-old.
Awesome.
So he did the chopping of the sweet potato for us.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And so those happen on Saturdays from 10:15 to 11:15, and there's three more coming up scheduled already, right?
That's right. Yep.
Okay, so the next one I know is Eggplant Pizza on October 14th. How do you think the kids are going to react to eggplant?
Yeah, I'm excited because I think that eggplant's almost a mysterious vegetable to most.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I ever tried it until I was an adult. But
me neither.
Yeah, it's an interesting texture for sure when it's cooked and when it's raw. So my hope is to let the kids feel it and even try it when it's raw so that they can kind of just sensory exploration, you know, a little bit.
Nice.
And then we're planning to have this one set up in station. So there's going to be groups of kids so they get to be more hands-on rather than this past one. They were a lot of observation and learning. That way, but this time they'll get to do in their own little groups, like shredding the cheese and chopping up the different toppings for the pizza. And then we do plan to make the pizza sauce from scratch. So they get to learn about that and watch us make that.
Oh, wow. So then November 11th is the cheesy egg in a hole. That one seems pretty straightforward, mm-hmm. but delicious.
Yep. And we plan to make a green smoothie with that one as well.
Ooh. And then December 9th is mini chicken pot pies. I might show up when you guys are, you know, at 11:15 when these come out of the oven because I love me a pot pie.
Yes, I'm excited. Is it, do you have a kid? You could bring your kid.
No, can I? I can borrow one.
Yeah, you could borrow a niece or nephew.
It's fun to have kids in the kitchen and to enjoy these explorations with them, whether they're your daughter, son, niece, nephew, or grandchild. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you get involved in these fun Kids in the Kitchen coming up. If you want to register for those, call 715-818-9622. Now, while I got you here, Tiana, we have to talk about these Nutrition 101 classes coming up. I know the first one is happening today, and it's the Easy and Delicious Meals.
That's right. Yeah.
So tell us about that.
So the biggest thing we talk about is about including balance with your meals. I talk about the macronutrients, so fats, carbohydrates, and protein, and having each of those macronutrients included in each meal, and then trying to get two of those macronutrients in your snacks, if possible, not as a rigid rule, but just as kind of a, just having that in the back of your head when you're meal planning and thinking about planning out your meals.
So if I had, let's say, crackers, I should also include cheese.
Yeah, that would be a great snack. And I suppose you could think about it as in terms of food groups. A lot of cultures have a way of dividing the foods into groups. So for us, it was the pyramid for a while, and now it's the My Plate. So having a fat, carbohydrate, and a protein, those are all different food groups. And then like fruits and vegetables, I suppose that doesn't totally encompass it well, but you can think about it in terms of food groups as well.
Gotcha. Okay. So how you build your plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
All right. And so what are some of the other things you're going to be talking about at the class today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're talking about including those macronutrients, and we'll give examples of those macronutrients. We'll be doing an activity together to practice putting together a meal that's balanced. And I just talk about different easy carbohydrate options. So and giving tips to make them healthier. So for example, an easy carbohydrate might be canned beans. Oh. And oftentimes beans are canned with salt. And so something I recommend is to dump them into a strainer and then rinse off the salt. Oh. Or you can cook your beans in, I use an Instant Pot, but you can just cook a bulk batch of beans and then freeze them in quart-sized bags.
So then they're ready to go without any added salt if you're saying cook them from fresh?
Yes, so to buy the dried beans and cook them and then freeze them for use and whenever you want to use them.
Okay, my mind went instantly to green beans as opposed to dried beans. So I was thinking along the wrong path. Because that's totally one of my, like, I don't know, poverty comfort meals is a can of green beans and a can of beets. My mom did a lot of canning when I was a kid, and those were often the two things we would grab to eat together.
Oh my gosh, I love beets. Yeah, that's so fun. Yeah, no, I think that's common. Most people, when I talk about beans, they're like, so like green beans? But no, the beans, the like hard bag of beans.
Dried beans. So like yep. black beans or kidney beans, chili beans.
Garbanzo beans. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's, you're saying that's an easy carbohydrate that can be healthier by making them without salt or rinsing the salt off if you buy canned, already pre-made beans.
Right. Yep. Canned beans. Yeah. And other ideas for easy carbohydrates. And I try to emphasize the high nutrient ones. So brown rice, quinoa, those are both pretty easy to make. Whole grain bread, tortilla, crackers. I talk about oatmeal, potatoes. Sweet potatoes are regular with soft skins. That That's an easy carbohydrate. Squash.
And sweet potatoes are so good.
Yes. Yeah, they are. So yummy. My husband loves them. So I always have to make sure I get some for him.
I have to tell you about a meal I just made that I think was super easy but delicious. It was pork tenderloins sautéed with cabbage and onion. Mm-hmm. And then as a side, I made a sweet potato with it.
Ooh, that sounds so good.
And it was so easy with just a few spices, a little red chili like flakes in there to give it a little kick. It was really good.
That sounds excellent. And that's a great example of a perfect balanced meal with a non-starchy vegetable, your cabbage, and then a carbohydrate, your sweet potato, and then your protein and your, you said pork tenderloin, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you got creative with flavoring it by, instead of adding more salt, which is often something that our culture will do, you added some crushed red pepper. Is that what you said?
Yes. I did add a little Bragg's, which is the soy amino acid product.
Yeah.
As my salt.
Yes, right. There you go. It's perfect. Yeah. And that's a little bit of savory. That's the umami flavor you're adding there. Mm. So you had some sweet flavor. You had the umami flavor, which had a little bit of salt in it. And then you also had some spicy. So I can see how that would be a really satisfying meal. And that's something that I talked about, or that I will am talking about too, is just the satisfaction factor. So when we think about when we think about putting together a meal for ourselves, something I like to emphasize over just balance in nutrition is preferences and the satisfaction factor, because oftentimes when people start to change their diet and they start eating healthier than they're used to, they kind of go into it with a militant mindset of like, I'm going to eat the chicken and the broccoli, you know, and and it's not fun and it's not.
No, you feel blah and boring. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I like to talk about the satisfaction factor. What taste sounds appealing? So considering kind of what we just talked about with your meal, having just different sensations in there. So savory, sweet, salty, buttery, rich, tart, smoky, hot and spicy. Yeah.
And then the texture too, the crispiness of the cabbage versus the soft, nice, I don't know, mushiness, I guess, of the sweet potato.
Yes, right. Creamy.
There we go. That's the word.
Yeah, it sounds a little more appetizing than mushiness.
It does.
But yeah, thinking about texture, smooth, crunchy, chewy, crispy. And then thinking too about the appearance of the food. Maybe doing a fun garnish with it that can be exciting, or make it more exciting.
Or have the fun colors involved in, like, if I had used maybe a mixture of red and green cabbage, it would have made that part a little different colored than with the orange sweet potato. And
Yes. And that's something to think about too when we think about nutrition, is we want to eat the rainbow, we always say. And what that doesn't mean like every meal has to be super colorful, but what it means is when we think about even our purchases for the next couple of weeks, let's say if you're grocery shop every 2 weeks or every week, thinking about incorporating a variety of different colors of fruits and vegetables into your diet, it can be easy to get stuck in a rut and just always buying the same fruits, always buying the same vegetables. So I always encourage people to mix it up and think about, well, if you always buy the green cabbage, maybe buy the red cabbage this time, you know, like that.
Oh my goodness, I could talk to you about nutrition all day. But I think we've run out of time, so we better cover quick the next ones that are coming up, because you don't want to miss these Nutrition 101 classes that Tiana has. The next one is October 16th. Now, this is an evening one from 5:30 to 6:30, and you're doing gluten-free living, right?
That's right, yes. Yeah.
And will you have examples things to eat at these? I don't remember.
Yes, we're definitely going to have something, some sort of yummy, sweet, but nutritious treat to share.
Oh, good. Okay, so that's the gluten-free one on October 16th. Then you've got Exploring Probiotics on November 20th, and that's a morning class from 10:15 to 11:15.
That's right, yes. And I will have something to share there, too. It's not going to be as sweet, but it will be very nutritious. It will have good probiotics in it, and it might be something most people have never tried before. So,
That sounds exciting. And then the last one scheduled so far right now is on December 18th, and that's low sodium eating from 5:30 to 6:30.
Yeah, and I'm excited for that one. At all of these sessions, we'll have a little sample of something to try. So that's always fun to look forward to trying something new.
Yeah, learning new things, new ways of creating these foods that are delicious and nutritious.
That's right.
Well, you can call 715-818-9622 to register for any of these classes with Tiana. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Melissa. It was lots of fun, as it always is.
Thank you, Tiana. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today on another edition of The Kitchen's Open, sponsored by Southwood County YMCA. If you're interested in signing up for Tiana's Kids in the Kitchen class or the Nutrition 101 classes, call 715-818-9622. That's 715-818-9622. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Hey!
All right.
Hey. Great segment. Nicely done, Melissa and Tiana. Nicely done, you two. I like that. That was a fun note.
Yeah, very novel. Yeah. Good stuff.
We encourage you to keep on listening for every Monday around this time slot for another episode of The Kitchen's Open. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Who feels like a montage?
Yes.
Montage.
Woo. Wouldn't that make things easier if we could montage certain things in our life?
Yes.
Where's that button?
Yeah.
Where's that button. App?
Yeah.
Where's this montage time? Man, I ain't got the time for this montage. I want to put on some muscle right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be ready for the fight at the end of the movie now.
Exactly.
Where's that montage button? And if you're going to have a montage, you need songs like this.
Oh, absolutely.
You need St. Elmo's Fire, Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be one of those. Yeah.
Nothing but Survivor songs.
Yes. We get into a little bit of entertainment news right now, and just a couple of quick stories and one longer one. This first one, Oppenheimer has surpassed Bohemian Rhapsody as the global box office to become the highest grossing biopic of all time.
Wow.
Over the weekend, Oppenheimer made $12 million, putting it at $912.7 million worldwide.
Wow. Who saw that coming?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I know that they had hoped, obviously, like all movies to make their money back. But Christopher Nolan was kind of like, bluntly said, they weren't doing this movie to get their money back. So the fact that they have done this well with it is really cool. I think it's great. I think it's it speaks to everybody, every Scorsese, every old director out there that wants to bark about how modern audiences can't. All they want is superhero movies and blah, blah, blah. Look at how good this movie did.
Exactly.
Look at how good this did. Also, get ready, everybody, because if there is one thing we know about Hollywood, they love parody. So, I mean, there's just going to be a fleet. Once we do come back to making movies again, which we will be very soon, I believe before winter, that will happen. I'm putting my name on that.
No, okay.
And that's not me talking. That's the people that are actually on the front lines. I do think it's going to happen before winter. I'm almost positive of that. I think that you are going to see an influx of biopic movies, just like we did with the popularity of Ray and Walk the Line when those came out with Jamie Foxx and Joaquin Phoenix, and you saw a fleet of those kind of movies.
A bunch of musician biopics,
You're going to see a bunch of these. I would not be shocked if 2 years from now we're talking about an Albert Einstein biopic. Talking about that kind of
totally
thing.
Totally with you.
There's going to see a lot of these.
Wouldn't that be fascinating? Scientist biopics?
I'm all for it.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Sign me up.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I'll even play old Al. I'll play
Turn your hair white.
You can do it. You know, we got some things in common. It's worth mentioning that they both have something in common, Rami Malek. He was, of course, Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody, and he's a nuclear physicist in Oppenheimer.
Wow.
That's awesome. Wow.
And I just love mentioning Rami Malek.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
After being heavily criticized for restarting her show amid the writer's strike, Drew Barrymore is doing a 180 and once again pausing production. In a message posted on Instagram, she said, quote, I have listened to everyone and I am making the decision to pause the show's premiere until the strike is over. I have no words to express my deepest apologies to anyone I have hurt and, of course, to our incredible team who works on the show and has made it what it is today. I truly hope for a resolution for the entire industry very soon. The Jennifer Hudson Show and The Talk also announced they are delaying their season premieres. Bill Maher is still a jerk.
I was going to say, yep.
But that being said, we can chew gum and walk at the same time, people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people on those TV shows that have nothing to do with this strike that are caught up in it, and that are that their livelihoods are being held, and that is not lost on anybody who is smart enough to understand this industry. I will say a strike doesn't work if everybody doesn't do it.
Right.
Yep. 100%.
It just one person breaks the line and it just doesn't work.
Yep.
And they get that. And I appreciate it, especially where Drew is coming from. Where can anybody question Drew Barrymore's heart?
No.
Honestly.
No,
I don't think so.
Honestly. Yeah. I mean, I know we got the Ellen thing wrong, but I would be shocked if I got this one wrong with the Drew Barrymore thing. And you're seeing one of the things I love about her and I respect about her is you're getting the real-time Drew Barrymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the time, she thought she was doing something good for the rest of her staff by bringing it back. And hey, I'm not harming anybody. The Writers Guild signed off on this. No harm, no foul. Mm-hmm. Of course, social media being what it is and everything. And they got Drew Barrymore looking like a jerk, which that's it, like, leave it to social media to be able to flip that script. How you managed to write that, I don't know. But credit to her for being able to do this and something that we need more of in society. Hey, I was wrong. I own it. Let me grow and move on.
That's it.
Yep. I think, you know, it was probably social media, but you know what I think broke the camel's back was the headline from The Onion that did it. Drew Barrymore opens GM assembly plant amid impending auto worker strike.
I hadn't seen that. Oh, that's good.
I think we can give The Onion a little credit.
The Onion deserves credit no matter what we're talking about.
Exactly. It doesn't matter.
I will always go out of my way to give The Onion credit. God, I love that paper. I want it. Pam, we got to get them on Morning Magazine.
No, wouldn't that be awesome?
I would say since I was a little kid, I've wanted to interview anybody from The Onion. I don't care who it is.
Well, and if not Morning Magazine, get them on Director's Cut.
Yes.
Oh, there
absolutely.
We go.
Talk about their creative process.
See, we got a great producer over here.
Even someone from the AV Club. Anything, you know, we'll take that.
The full cast of Dancing with the Stars, season 32, has announced yesterday, the other day on Good Morning America. I held on to this story from last week. It was just the other day.
Yeah, okay.
But knowing Beth was going to be on with us.
Nice.
She is our head reporter on Dancing with the Stars.
She is. No question about it.
So
you would know.
There are 14 names on this list, Beth. I see Barry Williams from The Brady Bunch.
Yes.
Matt Walsh from Veep. I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Matt
interesting.
Walsh.
Yeah.
I like Matt Walsh. Groundlings favorite and stuff. Kyle Richards, strange husband, Mauricio Unmansky from The Real Housewives of Beverly. I have no idea who that is.
No.
Jamie Lynn Spears. Is that Britney's sister?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
So Britney's
sister. Also on I believe it's a Netflix show called Sweet Magnolias.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
YouTuber Lila Pons. Don't know who that is. But I do know these next two. Seth Mira Sorvino.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Man, that says a lot about the day and age we're in. I'm sorry. But Mira Sorvino, Mighty Aphrodite is doing this. Wow. Well, you do Sound of Freedom, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
And NFL star Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
That one kind of like, what?
Wow. But we have seen like Donald Driver and others, other athletes. Jerry Rice, I think, did pretty good on there.
There have been several gymnasts that have been on there. Yeah. Sean Johnson won when she was on.
Didn't Emmett Smith win?
Yes.
When he was on?
That's
right.
Jason Mraz,
yes,
on here.
Uh-huh.
Now, I thought he was still a big name. I thought he still had a bigger name out there. I was a little surprised by that.
There are still big names that come on the show.
Yeah, that's true. Well, The Masked Singer just had Demi Lovato on there. And I thought that was okay. So these shows, you're right, Beth.
Yep.
You're right. These shows are moving. They've been around so long.
They're moving more into the mainstream again.
Yeah. I'm your reality star, Ariana Maddox from Vanderpump Rules. I don't know.
No idea.
The recent Bachelorette, Charity Lawson.
It's an interesting modge podge of people that they pull together.
But hold up. I didn't catch this when this was going on in the real time. The Bachelorette's, the most recent Bachelorette's name was Charity.
Yeah.
Come on, people. You're making this too easy. Make me work for it here a little bit. That's just too easy. Man, I wouldn't have lasted, like, if I was one of the guys, what do they got, 80 people, like 80 guys to try to get that rose or whatever. Is, yeah. If I'm one of those 80, I'm getting out of the limo or whatever, they say her name, I'm walking right back in. Like, no, I'm sorry, but no. YouTuber Harry Jowsey. I don't know these people. Allison Hannigan from American Pie.
Yeah, that's we know Allison Hannigan.
And Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Another one of those people.
And then How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, that's right.
I always mess up her name. Zochi Gomez, she's American Chavez in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I always get her name wrong, too.
Yeah, but she's really good. She's talented.
She is very excellent. And she's an up-and-comer, too, so that's really interesting. It's cool.
And very important, as the producers of this show would tell you, getting young people on here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And forgive me, Beth, if I'm not going to get this 100% right, but I know that the early years of that show were kind of built on an older audience, and they realized early on we're going to skew a little younger, and they've been doing a really good job of that it seems like.
Yeah.
And number one, or the last person, model Tyson Beckford.
Yep.
Oh wow.
Going to be on, and that's a good one. Out of all the reality shows, this is the one that does get my catch me every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of dance. I love dancing. I love one of the things that I hope comes out of this show. Is the idea that everybody can dance and everybody should dance. When they do have the little American Idol similar, where it's one of the more famous part or one of the more popular parts of the show, are having the people that you know aren't going to do well,
right?
And stuff. I know that they've had years where there's been controversy about their people moving on that shouldn't, all that. Moving past that for myself, I just enjoy that. I enjoy the idea of that. Let alone seeing great dancers get an art form that we don't get to put under the spotlight very often.
Not anymore. Really.
It used to be.
It used to be.
You could be a world famous person being a dancer, a Mikhail Gorbachev, you know, that kind of thing. Gregory Hines, you know. Yep. I mean, I don't know.
Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers. They used to make movies just about dancing.
Exactly.
I don't know who the world's most famous dancer is anymore. I don't know who. I hate that. I don't use that word lightly. I genuinely hate that. I think it's one of our greatest art forms, one of our greatest expressions as human beings is dance.
I think the closest we have right now is Ariana DeBose.
Okay.
Who was in Hamilton, and then she was in the most recent remake of West Side Story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Nice.
If this popularizes dance even a little bit, if it gets one person to get dancing that wouldn't dance otherwise, sounds good to me. That's worth it to me.
And that's one of the reasons I first got into the show, is it's so neat to watch the progression. You know, where they start week one to where they finish, to see how much they grow in that time. The other thing to remember is this is their job for the next, you know, however many weeks.
Right.
This is their job. So these celebrities don't necessarily, some of them will try to pull double duty if they can, but they are working out and dancing and learning those routines a good 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so when you practice something that much, you're going to improve.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Sam. I was going to say, and I think a distinction can be made between reality shows and competition shows. Because in this one, there's not the contrived plot line. So you know, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, there's always the, you know, the...
Yeah.
Not scripted, but script, you know. Not scripted, but scripted, you know, line, through line and all that stuff, right? This, they do some of that, but it's more of just, you know, who can be the, you know, learn something, who can show what they've learned and that kind of thing. So,
do you, any of these names really stand out to you, Beth? Is there somebody you're excited about more than another, or is there somebody you think has got this? Or,
I'm interested to see how Greg Brady does. Gary
Williams. Yeah.
Just because, and then again, Mira Sorvino, because she did a little bit of dancing in Romy and Michelle. And so there, you know, some of them have some of this background. And Jamie Lynn Spears, I mean, her sister is Brittany.
Yeah.
So right. There's got to be some background there. I'm excited that none of these really stand out as having done any like Broadway work. Like Wayne Brady, I love Wayne Brady to death, and he was a great contestant. Mm. But you knew he had a dance background. Yeah. You knew he was going to do okay from the beginning because he had that. None of these have really popped out that, oh, this person has some dance in their background, so they're going to do really well. So this one seems more of a level playing field than in the past.
I like Allison Hannigan, but I love Matt Walsh. I'm such a big fan of his, and I love the idea that even people that don't know who he is are going to get a chance to know who he is,
which is really cool
in the competition.
And that's one of the other things that really draws me to this show is because half of these people I have never heard of in my life. Mm. But the more I watch them, not only do I learn what they've been in, I get to learn who they are. And I think that's why some of these celebrities come on, because it gives them a chance to be seen as human, as who they are, not just as the characters or the career that they've had.
The season premiere September 26th at 7 o'clock on ABC and Disney Plus hosts Alfonso Ribeiro and Juliana Huff. How's Alfonso doing on it?
Oh, he's phenomenal.
I like it. I like his second act. I really like his second act.
He does some really
act.
Cool things. Yeah.
Well, and he hosts American Family Videos or whatever.
Yeah, that too.
And he actually was a contestant.
Oh, right.
With Whitney.
Right.
That's right. I don't remember if they won or they got second place, but he was definitely a finalist.
I
think he might have. And then they started to invite him back as a guest host every once in a while. And then I liked Tyra Banks when she did her America's Top Model, because that was her wheelhouse. She knew what she was doing. She was not an asset to the as a producer, maybe not as a host. And he really helped to up her level. And I'm not surprised that she's now taken a step back. And I think Julianne Hough is going to be an interesting co-host because she was one of the professionals.
She
served as a judge, so she's seen all of the different aspects of the show already. So she might be able to ask questions or bring out a perspective that wasn't there before.
Wow. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing.
Just watching the wheels go around the roundabout here.
Yeah, that's true.
Over at WFHR. Seth, Beth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to your Monday out there. Happy work week. I don't know how to really put that.
It's September. There's no like happy something that we can do. Yeah, you know, got to wait till October.
Got some great stuff coming up for you. I want to dive into this one right here. Five little things that end up costing you a lot of money.
Ooh, interesting.
Someone asked people to name small expenses that add up and end up costing you a lot more than you think. The big one people mentioned here are we'll get into these, but I think this conversation went in a direction I didn't expect it to. So I'm going to start at the, if you don't mind, at the bottom, because that's where apps and games you never use.
Yep.
That was the first thing I thought of.
Wow.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe your kids never use them. In-app purchases also add up, but the idea of the free game.
I
was a sucker for this. The Simpsons came out with an app phone game a long time ago, and I played it to death, and to the surprise of nobody out there. But part of what got me interested was, oh, it's a free game. I can just download it for free, and that's great. But then if you want Maggie Simpson, you got to buy donuts to be able to purchase Maggie Simpson, and that's how they got me. I'll spend $5 to get Maggie Simpson, of course. I'll easily spend five more. I think I spent like $40 on that free game.
Yeah.
And right there, not in total, not all at once.
Yeah, right.
But a little purchase after a little purchase. And after a while, I'm like, wait a minute. They got me. You suckers. I'm the sucker. That's one of those ones, I think.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Appetizers at restaurants.
Ooh.
You're adding an extra $10 to your bill, and your meal is probably plenty of food already.
I'm going to add something on that for restaurants. Mm. Drinks.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about alcoholic drinks.
No.
I'm talking about soda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's because you kind of do it automatically. You don't even really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But look at how much you're actually being charged for that.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute here.
I don't want to say the name of the business because I like them and I don't want to say anything bad. But I am surprised nowadays where you get a burger and you get like a side, you know, mozzarella sticks or fries or something like that. And the side is more expensive than the burger.
Yeah.
Like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
When did that seem like, that doesn't seem right to
me. Yeah, something
wrong. How could the side dish be more? Yeah, I don't get it. That number three, the fancy coffee on your way to work. Maybe it's worth it, but if you're paying $5 at Starbucks 5 days a week, that's around $1,250 a year.
It adds up, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Make it at home.
Man, I make it at home or that gas station coffee.
Or make it a once a week treat kind of thing.
Now, yes, that, that's a good idea.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Everybody needs a little of that in their life, whatever that might be. Delivery, especially if you order through apps. With delivery fees, other fees, and a tip, you end up paying $15 more if you just went and picked it up. Now, there is certainly, on one part of this, the convenience of not having to leave your house.
Right.
Especially if you're a single parent.
Right.
I think that right away, you're going to pay $15 gladly. Gladly, if it means you didn't have to get all the kids in the car and go down and do all that and everything.
Definitely something to be said.
I know that people like my father will oftentimes, because they don't do a lot of this, but and this isn't just with the delivery apps. I mean, going back to like ordering Domino's. My dad, it cost me this much in gas if I went and picked it up. So makes the argument in his head that it's worth it and everything.
Awesome.
Whatever you got to do, I don't begrudge you it. But I do think that this, as somebody who got really late into the DoorDash stuff, that is one of those ones where I'm seeing it and I'm like looking around, like, did anybody else see this? Like, this doesn't seem right. Like, we're all okay with this?
Yeah.
Right.
And to understand how it works, I mean, when they first come in, the deals are great.
Yes.
Yes.
This is something that tech companies do a lot.
Yep.
And then once they capture a big enough audience, then they start jacking up prices, and you get to where you are, like James was talking about, like, whoa, what is this? Mm-hmm. I noticed it too. I did a little comparison on the app itself, and I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot more to get that delivery. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And let's be honest here. The drivers are not getting that.
No, right.
They are
not
getting
obviously.
That. Yeah. That's the company that
you're
is.
You're so right about to bring that up. I shouldn't say obviously. That needs to be mentioned because it's not obvious.
Yep.
They're also trying to entice you to buy their perks, like their member thing, and then they'll just decrease your delivery costs, but you're paying a certain amount then monthly
exactly
for it. So you're still paying it. You're just paying it up front instead of each time you order.
Exactly.
And it's I don't begrudge them this either, because they're it's a smart business model what they do. The problem is, to me, what Seth said, I wouldn't have as much. I don't mind tipping. When I get an order pizza, we've always tipped well. Right. Even when we didn't have much, we tip well because we get, hey, this person's doing a convenience for us. We didn't have to leave the house for food.
Right.
It's the fact that, you know, when I tipped that pizza delivery guy, I was putting the cash in his or her hand.
Right.
Exactly.
I felt like, okay, this is worth it. They're getting this money.
Yep.
To what you're saying there, Seth, that doesn't get brought up enough, whether we're talking Uber or any of these
guys. Of those
things.
Yeah.
There's a correcting in the market that's going to have to happen. And if it doesn't happen soon, you're going to see another strike.
Right.
You're going to see another one of these kind of things going on.
Because there is a difference between the delivery fee and the tip.
Yeah.
So if you think that delivery fee is the tip, you're not giving that driver anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So you need to make sure that you add something specifically for the driver.
Right. And when they up the prices, it hurts the restaurants too.
It does.
So you have to keep that in mind as well.
And number one in the list, subscriptions you don't use, including everything from streaming services to magazines. Cutting back on that stuff can help your bottom line quite a bit.
It's true. And especially now.
Yeah.
With so many streaming services.
To what Seth was saying before about the business model of DoorDash and that kind of thing, you could have easily inserted any streaming service and given the exact same description you did.
Yeah, you
it's
got it.
It's a business model that they felt like, well, we're always going to have this. This is going to be fine. Mm-hmm. We can give Martin Scorsese all this money to make a movie because our subscribers are always going to go up. We're never going to be hurting for industry or anything like that. You're seeing a correcting in the market going on right now that, for one, because of their mess up, because of the way, because of their unplanned business model, mm-hmm. and one that did not have a shouldn't have never made it out of the boardroom. It should have been laughed out of the boardroom, mm-hmm. this idea. But because we are in a capitalist society, and because they really did feel like, oh, the sky will always be blue, we don't have anything to worry about. Now, there is two strikes going on, mm-hmm. because of this.
Yep.
And there is a correction in the market that needs to take place, that who's suffering? The people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not only the fans of these shows and everything, but the artists that create them. Mm-hmm. Bob Iger ain't suffering right now. Bob Iger's not hurting. The guy in front of Netflix is not hurting.
No.
Like, these people that are running this stuff, they could care less about you.
Right.
They give no darn about you whatsoever. No.
They're drawing their money. Yeah.
They don't, like, look at the most simplest of writers. A person who's not even, we're not talking about who's ever going to be a household name, who's ever even going to make enough money to where that they, we're talking like generational wealth kind of stuff. Talk about just your average writer. That person works their tail off to be like you. To understand what you're like, just mm-hmm. understand what human beings are, what your average mm-hmm. person is, so that they can write that and put it on the screen.
Yeah.
Do you want Bob Iger writing that? You want a guy living in a bubble doing that stuff?
No.
Do you want AI doing that?
No.
It ain't gonna be relatable, I'll tell you that much.
No, it won't.
Although maybe we do need to be creating content for AI. Maybe AI should create content for AI. Like, are we going to get to that point where AI is taking in TV and taking in shows?
It's going to be like that movie Multiplicity, where you make a copy of a copy.
Yeah,
and it
gets worse and worse as it goes down the line.
I don't know. I do know that we are very proud of our new logos, our new shirts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We have been enjoying rolling these out in the last couple of weeks. A big shout out to Rebecca Sullivan and the great work her and this team has done on this. Mm-hmm. And we've got new shirts.
New shirts.
We've got we had our first roll out with our logos, with our old logo on them. These new ones, just our new logo.
New stuff.
Yep.
And really bringing that out into the fold and everything. So if you want one of these, 424-2600, all you got to do is be willing to share your size.
Yes.
On the air.
That's it.
As long as you're willing to do that, heck, in between us, you can even lie to the audience.
Yeah, we don't care.
Give me the real answer
there
off.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's fine
care.
Too.
Yeah.
424-2600, call up and get one of these new shirts. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Calling for a shirt?
Yep, I am.
All right. Can I get your first name?
Mike.
Mike, thanks so much for listening, Mike. We appreciate it. What town are you calling us from?
Rapids.
All right, got ourselves a Rapids winner. Mike, what size are you?
Extra large.
All right. I will just hang on the line, Mike. I'm going to get a little information from you off air, but thank you so much for listening and playing along, sir.
Okay, well, thanks then.
Thank you, Mike. That's great. Yeah, all right. Mike got ourselves a new winner.
Very good, Rapids yes.
One. We're going to talk to Mike. We'll come back with some more fun in the morning show at WFHR. It's a little better. Yeah. It's a little more upbeat. A little more upbeat.
Gotcha.
We gotta end the show with a more upbeat a little bit.
Yeah.
A little more upbeat. Nothing against Candlebox.
Yeah.
It's not a bad song. Just wanted a little more upbeat music.
There you go.
It'll Crash Into Me from Dave Matthews. That's not bad.
Not a lot of the upbeat stuff in the 90s, you know?
Yes.
It was kind of gloomy, you know?
They took their cue from the 80s. And like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Beth, Seth, James here with you as we wrap up the show. Just got a couple of minutes left. Not really any time for a That Ain't Right story of the day.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because all I had was bad breath is the number one mood killer in the, in the bedroom. Bad breath, number one mood killer in the bedroom.
Okay, that's all you need to say, I guess.
Yep.
That's about it. Nothing
brush
more.
Your teeth before.
There really isn't a lot of... Yes, brush your teeth, people.
Get out the Tic Tacs. You're good to go.
If you think that you should brush your teeth, you should be brushing
your
teeth.
Probably brush your teeth.
Yes. And in that scenario, I should not have to tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
Beth should not have to tell you. Brush your damn teeth. For the love of all that is. We got some local good stories of the day we want to get to. I just wanted to first off remind everybody about the chicken naming contest we have going on with our
Woo!
Sister station,
yes.
105.5 WIRI. Get on over to wiscountry.com/chicken. Get in on this. You can actually enter up to three names.
That's wow. awesome.
You have up until October 9th to do this. Then from the 9th to the 29th in October, we're going to be go ahead and letting you guys guys decide which one of these names should be our chicken's first name.
Doing some voting. And, oh, yeah.
And we got some great prizes for this. Second and third place prize going to win a night stay at Chula Vista with a bunch of water park passes included and some dinner vouchers and stuff and zip lining included.
Good stuff.
Awesome.
First prize, a two-night stay at Chula Vista Water Park with all of those things included as well. And most importantly, maybe, bragging rights.
There you go. Yeah.
I named the chicken.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. Ooh. Again, wizcountry.com/chicken. Get on over there and get to the naming. And do want to encourage you. Of course, it is a Monday. That means it's a Muppet Monday, everybody. Check out What the Muppet, the wonderful podcast from Bria Krieger and some other guy. It's a great show. Bria does an amazing job with this show. This week, The Cornerstone. And we have not gotten a movie yet on this when we've been drawing the names. Mm-hmm. We got our first movie today on this one.
Nice.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to tell you what movie, but we got our first movie. And be sure to check out episode 8, The Cornerstone. Thank you so much to the subscribers, to the people that have really been having fun with this one. I really do appreciate everybody that's been getting in on this. She does such a great job with it. You make a dad really proud. Thank you so much. And whether you get your wherever you get your podcasts, type in What the Muppet should pop up for you. And if you're a YouTuber, go ahead and check out the YouTube and subscribe to the page.
Let's get Muppy.
Yes, let's get Muppy, people. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, my man. Appreciate that. We've got some great things coming up locally in our area. One of them, of course, is over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, Beth, with your community book sale.
Yes, we got that coming up in October, the 12th and 13th from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then Saturday, the 14th, is our bag sale. Fill up a paper bag and all of that. Everything that you can put in there is $2, and that's 8:30 to 2 p.m. on that Saturday.
Find out more at WRMoravian.org, WRMoravian.org. Be sure to also, while you're at YouTube and going looking up What the Muppet, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids and Moravian Church, subscribe to their page. You will not be disappointed. A great page to subscribe to.
Thank you.
And thank you, Beth. Thank you for joining us again
today. Great.
Good to have you with us. I also wanted to mention a couple other quick things. The Name the Dog Park. Today is, we got one more day of this. Tomorrow at 8 a.m. it'll wrap up. So be sure to go to wirapids.org and get in on the naming of that dog park. Let's have some fun with this one. Again, wirapids.org. And Seth, our great friends at the Rafters have a wonderful event going on tonight.
It's the next Off the Clock event presented by the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Network with the Heart of Wisconsin. It's from 4 to 7. It's got free food, music, 50-50 raffle, other prizes, Kill the Keg, free beer. And you can also check out the Craft River, the Locker Room, the Rat Trap, the Press Box.
Wow.
Check all the stuff you don't get to see.
Yeah.
This is open to the public and free to attend over at Witterfield, of course, 521 Lincoln Street. Must be 18 years of age or older to attend, so keep that in mind. But check out the Rafters, and these are always fun events. They're open to everybody, so go check it out from 4 to 7 tonight.
Shout out to the Chamber of Commerce and, of course, our friends at the Rafters for that one. That's going to be a really fun event. We have got a couple of other great community events going on starting tomorrow. Now, one of them, the Community Blood Drive, going on from 10 to 3 over at the former East Junior High School Music Room. Get on over there. Walk-ins are welcome. Greatly appreciate all you heroes being able to donate. Mm-hmm. And our fantastic friends at Family Natural Foods have a free lecture, Transforming Your Health with Hope. This is a great time. Now, they had Dr. Tracy Kreider on before. Mm-hmm. They had her there. Mm-hmm. She did so well, they had to bring her back.
Yep. Wow, good.
They had to bring her back. It's a free lecture, again, taking place at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. The lecture will begin about 5:15. Be sure to stop by. They're going to have a drawing for free books and products. And Dr. Tracy is so good at talking about gut health and all of these things. It's going to be a really fun conversation. Be sure to check that out. And
gut
check
health.
Out.
Yeah.
And check out our friends at Family Natural Foods. Say hi to the gang over there for us.
That.
Well, that'd be pretty good. Nicely done. Join us for Playmakers today from 3 to 4. Going to be a fun show. Join us then from live and direct from 3 to 4 today. We're looking forward to seeing you then. Have a great morning, you two.
You too. Good Monday.
Have a great Monday, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.